your Bible to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter of Hebrews. Today we are going to see an admonition from Scripture that God wants us to adhere to. He wants us to see it very clearly and then take action to make sure that we are being obedient to this admonition. All the chapters of Hebrews are about Jesus being superior to everything that was in the law. We have a brand new covenant, and it is wonderful, and it is far better than what was given to our Jewish spiritual ancestors. And so we live in this new wonderful covenant, and in Hebrews 11, we sometimes call that the hall of faith. And so by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, Moses. And before the author of Hebrews gets to this wonderful definition of what faith is, there's a very strong admonition. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. It means you can, right? So don't do that. Which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. A lot of people want the promise before they do the will of God. How many know it doesn't work that way? All right. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. It says that we are not to be of those who draw back. What that tells us is there is a group that does. All right? There are those that have, and there are those who will. But we are not supposed to be in that group. Tell your neighbor, that's not my team. Okay? Another translation says those who turn back. Those who turn back. Now, turning is the greatest picture of what the Bible uses for repentance. We change our mind and we change a direction, all right? So this is repentance in the wrong way. So have you ever been on the wrong road in life, all right? You've been in the wrong business. You've been with the wrong girlfriend. Aren't you glad God allows U-turns, all right? And so we can turn back to God. Well, this passage is talking about repentance, the wrong kind of repentance. It's a turning, but it's turning back to the old way. It's turning back away from God. All right. Another translation says those who shrink back, having the idea of you're supposed to step up with courage and you're shrinking back in fear. The Message Bible puts it this way. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. But if he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We stay with it and survive, trusting all the way. How many of you know that in order to quit, that means you had to have started? All right? We were texting our daughter on Friday, and she says, oh, and I'm going to go 100 kilometers away for the weekend. I'm running in a half marathon. I love having a 21-year-old girl who does tough things for breakfast. I love it. She's like a mama. All right. Double major. Hallelujah. She's a wonderful little girl. All right. Big girl. All right. So, but she said, I'm running a half marathon. All right. Just for fun. So, but how many know there were people that she ran with that for whatever reason, they quit? Maybe an injury. Maybe they didn't train enough. Maybe something happened. Or their body just told them, you can stop the pain in an instant. All right? So quitting means that you started. Okay? But it means that just because you start doesn't mean you finish. You can't quit before the end. So this admonition not to shrink back, draw back, to quit, means that for the believer, this was written to believers, it means, folks, that it is possible. It is possible, all right? But the admonition is, don't be that guy. Don't be the one who shrinks back. Don't be the one who draws back, all right? And it says that we're not of those. And I want us to see a few places in Scripture very clearly that we have, and they're in Scripture so that we can learn from their mistakes. How many of you know it wasn't just the good, all the positive testimonies that were recorded in Scripture? All right, there were other testimonies so that we can say, I don't want to be that person. I don't want those results. And God in His mercy allows us to learn from their mistakes. And there were people in the Bible that gave up. There were people that stopped. Let's look at somebody who looked back. Who looked back. Genesis 19. Some of you know who this lady is. Some were men, some were ladies. All right. It is all genders can do this. All right. So we find the story of Lot and his family. Now, of all the disappointing people in Scripture, and there are a few, Lot has to be in the top three. This guy is just pretty much every decision he makes is based from the wrong motive, against God's plan. He has the spine of a jellyfish, all right? And unfortunately, what happens to Lot's wife is on her. But boy, it could have been avoided by a godly man, a husband who was setting the course for his family. They shouldn't have even been where they were if he would have been the leader of his home. All right. So Sodom and Gomorrah, their sin has come to God, and God has sent angels to get Lot and his family out. All right. But also to say, you better get out because the judgment is coming. All right. So Genesis 19, verse 15. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Everybody say, hurry. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now. What does right now mean? It means right now. All right. These are angels. Typically, we don't have conversations with angels every day. And if an angel comes to your house and says, leave right now, I mean, this is not your mother-in-law coming to talk. It's an angel. Get out right now or you will be swept away in the destruction of the city. Verse 16. When Lot still hesitated. Here we go again, Lot. Bad choices, bad decision. Oh, this guy. All right. I hope his relatives aren't here today. Okay. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and the two daughters and rushed them to safety. They couldn't count on him for hurrying, so they just grabbed him like a little baby. All right. And they rushed him outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. Aren't you glad he is? All right. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Why? Because you're not supposed to be stopping there. The valley is just on your way to where you're supposed to go. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Verse 18. Oh no, my Lord, Lot begged. You have been so gracious to me and saved my life and you have shown me such great kindness. But I cannot go to the mountains. Disaster would catch up with me there and I would soon die. See, there's a small village nearby. Please don't let me go. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be saved. Oh, that's right, Lot, because you are the expert at all of this. All right, the angel said, I'll grant you your request. I will not destroy the little village, but hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. This explains why the village was known as Zorah, which means little place. Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back. As she was following behind him, she turned into a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? We don't exactly know, but what we do know is nothing about her future was back there. Nothing. Everything about God's command, everything about God's safety, everything about God's mercy was before her. But she looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Okay? We have to make the decision in our life when we are leaving sin, when we are leaving Sodom, when we are leaving our old life. What is it back there that you miss? What is it back there that you need to go look for? Amen. A pastor friend of mine, he said that sometimes, now he's in ministry, doing a great job all around the world. But before he was born again, he was a rock star. All right? He played the guitar like Sam Chitundu, except he took drugs and slept with women and did crazy things, which Sam Chitundu doesn't do. Hallelujah. All right. But he said there are so many times in ministry where there's pressure and there's frustration, and he begins to think of life as a rock star. And he begins to go back and he starts thinking about those things. And he said, here's what I make myself do. As I go back to the time where, you know, the gig, and I was so drunk, I was so high on drugs that I had to go into a dirty toilet in a bar and vomit. And I passed out. And all the stuff in that cubicle, I was laying in all of that. That is what's back there. There's nothing back there that you need. Don't shrink back. Don't turn back to your old life. It's possible, but don't do it. Don't be like Lot's wife. Your whole life is ahead of you. Go in that direction. Let that be your viewpoint. So there's those who look back, and then there's people who make a decision to go back. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And here are the children of Israel, and they had been complaining for decades. They didn't like God's supernatural food. They didn't like the supernatural picked leader that God gave them. They didn't like it that God took them across the Red Sea because they thought, oh, he's going to kill us. So they were just decades and decades of complaining and moaning. And finally, they get to the Promised Land. And so, not many of you know the story. 12 spies were sent from all the tribes of Israel. And they were told, they were given an instruction. Tell us what it's like. Tell us what's there. That was the only instruction. Well, 10 spies came back and said, yeah, it's really great, but they're giants. We shouldn't go there. Moses didn't give them that. I don't need your evaluation. I don't need you to give me a recommendation. I just need you to take some snaps. Just give me the video. All right, well they went beyond their job description. All right. Well, but then there were two others, Joshua and Caleb. All right, for those of you in the music team, it's Caleb. Caleb. That's a music joke. Okay. All right. So they came back and they said, no, let's go up at once. Let's do this today. We can make it. God has given us this land. All right. Unfortunately, all the congregation listened to the 10 spies. Numbers 14, verse 1. So now this is happening. Numbers 14, 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. You know what verse 4 is called? That's called democracy. Democracy doesn't always get you what you hoped for. And that's all I'll say about that. You will always find a leader to take you back. You will always find a leader to take you out of the will of God. There's no shortage of those types of people around the world. All right. But here's what they did. So they knew that God wanted to take them there, but they found out that there were cities, there were strong guys, there were giants. And their logic was this, that they associated a battle, a struggle, challenges with a lack of God's plan, a lack of God's provision. You see, folks, the plan of God for you is not an 8-lane smooth highway, the Autobahn of Germany in a BMW. Listening to beautiful music. No. We live in a fallen world. We live where there are mountains and giants and battles. Oh, the life you need a big, rugged 4x4. You need it with one of those things on the front where you can go through water and you can still get air to the engine. You need a tank. Amen. It's going to be bumpy. There will be bruises. Amen. But see, they had a different idea. Well, why didn't God just wipe out all the giants? No, you're going to do that. You're going to wipe them out. And that's what Joshua and Caleb said. Come on, let's get this party started. Today, let's do it. Let's go across the Jordan. Let's make it there. But these people who wanted to go back were scared of challenges. Friend, if you are afraid of challenges, you will never enter in to God's best. You will never enter in to the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. Oh, but it's hard. Yes, it's hard. I wish it wasn't hard. Yes, there's a place that's called not hard. It's called heaven. And we're not supposed to go there today. We're supposed to stay down here, get a sword out, and chop off the heads of giants. Amen. And take cities and move forward. You know, the saying people have sometimes about, you know, during their running their business or, you know, activity or something. Today, people will use this phrase, the struggle is real. All right. Well, that I think that was on Joshua. That was on the bumper sticker of Joshua's chariot. The struggle is real, but I'm not quitting. I'm not going back. There's nothing in Egypt for me. Everything is all across the Jordan. Everything is in the promised land that God has for me. And if it means getting bloody, bring it on. And if the giants are big, the harder they fall. Amen. And we'll march around Jericho. We'll drive the inhabitants out of our land. Amen. Oh, don't be of those who shrink back. Don't be of those who get right to the edge and say, oh, it's too hard. Of course it's hard. Amen. Put on your big boy pants. Believe God. Get out the Bible. That's why God gave to every man the measure of faith. Why? Trust God in the middle of the battle. Hallelujah. So there were those who looked back. There were those who wanted to go back. But there's another group of people. These are not as obvious. All right? Because you're driving to Cobway, and all of a sudden you see somebody going the other way. Oh, what's Uncle Joe going the wrong way? All right? So people who go back or look back. But there are people also who settle for less than God's best. Settlers. Turn with me to Genesis 11. Genesis 11. I was a Christian for 25 years before I saw this, and I couldn't believe it was in the Bible when I saw it. Blew my mind. Certainly not a revelation of mine. It's been in the Bible. It's plain to see. All right. But Abram, who became Abraham, had a father, kind of like everybody does, right? And his name was Terah, all right? T-E-R-A-H. Don't name your boys Terah, okay? Don't do that. Not a good one, Maybe Caleb. Good name. All right, Caleb. All right. Genesis 11, 31. So this was before Abram was commanded by God in chapter 12 to go to Canaan. All right. Genesis 11. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He moved away. Listen to this. He was headed for the land of Canaan. Abram's dad was headed to Canaan. He had the brochure. It was in the GPS. This is your destination. All right? Dad, where are we going? We're going to Canaan. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. All right? Now, we have no idea why he was going there. All right, so it wouldn't be right to say that God told him, because we just simply don't know. But he was headed there. All right? He was headed for the land of Canaan. But they stopped. They stopped at Haran and settled there. Where? Before Canaan. They stopped and settled. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran as a settler. He stopped. He didn't get to where he wanted to go. He didn't finish the journey. Amen. He stopped and settled. And you know what? Many, many times in life, when you quit and when you stop, you know what you do? You just go ahead and build a house. You just go ahead and say, well, I guess this is just the way it's going to be. There is a destination that God has. There is a place that he wants you to go, but you don't keep moving. All right? Very same spirit happened many, many years later with the same group of people, the people that Moses was leading. 12 tribes of Israel. There were two tribes, Reuben and Gad. So they got to Jordan, all right, and they are going to cross over Jordan. Moses knows, I don't get to go across. Joshua is going to lead the promised land. We're going to do it, all right. And as they would go into Canaan, that the different tribes would get different parts of land, and that was going to be their home, all right. But notice in Numbers 32, verse 1, the tribes of Reuben and Gad owned vast numbers of livestock. Well, that's good. That was something that God had promised. So when they saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were ideally suited for their flocks, they came to Moses. Now, here's the problem. Jazer and Gilead are on the wrong side of the Jordan. This is not the promised land, but you know what? It's still good land. It's land that I want. It's not the land that God wants for me. They came to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the other leaders of the community, and they said, notice the towns of these towns, Nebo, Baron, and the Lord has conquered this whole area for the community of Israel. And it is ideally suited for our livestock. How do they ascertain the will of God? Based on circumstance. Well, I've got a good job. My kids are happy. I like it here. Have you heard the voice of God? Would you even know the voice of God if you heard it? Did you know that God promised you something better, something different? Well, no, I like it here. I have determined, all right? If we have found favor with you, please let us have this land as our property instead of giving us the land across the Jordan River. This was the land that God swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is your land. No, thank you, God. No, thank you, Jehovah. No, thank you, the God who dries out the Red Sea. No, thank you, the God who conquers. I want something different than your will. And I will settle here. Because I want it and I like it. And there's money involved. What did Jesus say? You can't have two masters, God and money. Jesus is your master. You can have money in your pocket. If you read the Bible in its entirety, you're supposed to, All right. There's things that you should be doing with your money. Good things. Godly things. The Bible's real clear about that. But money is a great servant. It is a horrible master. Oh, but a livestock. It's beautiful. This looks like God's will. No. God's will has already been determined. It's on the other side of the Jordan. Now, what happened was Moses said, well, guys, are you saying that we're going to go over there and your brothers are going to fight all these battles? And they said, no, don't worry. No, we'll go over the Jordan, fight the battles, and come back and live here. One of the saddest things in the whole Bible is Moses said, all right, I guess that, go for it. And they lived outside of the will of God, having lamb chops and pepper steak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Outside of the will of God. That was not God's plan. God's plan was somewhere else. All right? Now, friend, be very, very careful when you like something that God doesn't want for you. Don't get an affinity for something that is outside of God's plan for your life. Well, what's God's plan? Well, first of all, the Bible is real clear. All right? If you're a married person, don't ever, ever, ever let somebody flirt with you. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, no. Take their feelings. Hurt them. Grind their feelings into little dusty pieces. And men, don't let your wife have to come to your office and go Bruce Lee over this, some girl that's flirting with you. That's not her job. It's your job. Amen. And wives, I'm just telling you, go Bruce Lee on her. There's another one somewhere else. Amen. Be careful of what you allow in your heart. Be careful of what you're infatuated with. Be very careful. That is outside of God's plan. Miracle life. The land that we are on. The building that we are in. All the reports that you've heard. This church was built by people who left. It was built by apostolic faith. It was not built by settlers. And just because we've paid off the building doesn't mean we're across the Jordan yet. It doesn't mean we've finished the will of God. We've got a lot of work to do. Tell your neighbor, he's coming for your money. Lot of things to do here. Lot of giants to slay. This church was built by pioneers. Telling my wife, we moved to South Africa when bombs were going off in 1994 with a 2.5-year-old son. And he's about to get a master's degree in a couple of months. Oh, it pays to follow God. It pays to follow the fire by night and the cloud by day. It pays to follow where God will lead. This church was built by pioneers. May it never be led by settlers. One day, my wife and I are not going to be leading this church. One day. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying one day. Right? We're not immortal. Right? And I mean, at 85, I certainly don't want to be doing this. All right? Pastoring is a young man's sport. Okay. I can promise you that. All right. You need some energy. Okay. So one day we're not going to be, I don't know when that day is, but it's closer than it was yesterday. All right. So we won't be here, but may it never be led by people who are tired of moving. May it never be led by people who coast on the momentum of the generation and the sacrifice before them. Hallelujah. I don't know about you've seen this, but this is kind of happening all across our continent. There was a generation that sacrificed. There was a generation that lived for a purpose bigger than themselves. And now there's a generation in some places that thinks the purpose of existence is a Mercedes-Benz. Oh, there are more giants. There are more hills. There are more places to go in God. Amen. May God raise up leaders at Miracle Life when we're not here, like Joshua and Caleb, to say, come on, let's do it today, right now. Let's get on our swords. Come on, we're going today. Regardless of what the other spies say, regardless of what the other settlers want. Hallelujah. Amen. And I would just tell you, congregation, if you ever wake up and find at Miracle Life that it's being pastored by settlers, man, go find a church with vision. Take your money and go do the will of God somewhere else. And let them die and sleep and crash. Good advice if you take it. All right. We are not like these people. We're not Lot's wife. We're not these tribes that stayed on the wrong side of Jordan. We are going forward. We are moving. There were people in the Bible that had a different spirit. They didn't look back or shrink back or want to go back. They went against the flow. And thank God that when I look in the Bible, it seems like there are more of those than there are the others. Amen. Let's look at some of the other folks that did the right thing. People that didn't go back, but blind Bartimaeus yelled out, speak up. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now, when they had come to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. You should be afraid of people who try to quiet you. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Ooh, I like that spirit. Be quiet. No, I'm going to crank it up. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Why? Because he heard the cry of mercy. It was not in the plan of Jesus to stop there. Jesus didn't wake up that morning and decide that this was what he was going to do. Who decided that Jesus was going to stop? Blind Bartimaeus did. Blind Bartimaeus did. He knew that Jesus was merciful. He knew the power that was within him. And he invited Jesus into his arena. He invited Jesus into his problem. Lift up your voice to God. When your relatives say, you go to the happy clappy church. Oh yeah, I'm even happier than you realize. Amen. Because some walls need a shout. Mountains need to hear your voice. Lift up your voice to God. Don't shut up, shout out in faith. So Bartimaeus spoke up. The woman with the issue of blood, formerly with the issue of blood, all right, she pressed through. Look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, everybody say she said. She said, if I may only touch his clothes, I will be made whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. The story goes on to say that Jesus said, who touched me? He didn't even know. He wasn't playing games. He didn't know who got the power. That'll blow some of your theologies right out of the water. Okay? But I want you to notice this. Go back up to the beginning of the story. So there was a crowd around Jesus. So she pressed through. Because of her condition, probably she was physically weakened. She probably wasn't as physically strong as everybody that was in that crowd. But she made a decision. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. All right. But in verse 26, it says she had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had. She was already a fighter. All of those years, she was not satisfied with this condition in her body. Now, what she knew, the places that she was going for help, because Jesus wasn't around those days, but she went to doctors. Aren't you glad for doctors? But they are limited in what they can do. But she didn't go to one doctor. She went to many doctors. She spent all kinds of money. She wasn't one person who just went to a clinic and said, well, you've got this. And you say, okay, I guess that's the way it's going to be. She didn't take no for an answer. She kept fighting. And that spirit and that fighting spirit to say, I am going to get better. I am not going to die like this. This is not the end of my story. This can change. Hallelujah. She was willing to go to different places, willing to make sacrifices. And that same spirit, when she heard about Jesus, I'll go to him too. But she had heard that he was the great physician, that nothing was impossible with him. She said, she pressed through the crowd, she touched Jesus. This woman did not wait on an invitation. No one invited her to the crusade. Jesus did not knock on her door and say, woman, I hear there's a problem. Mm-mm-mm. She determined, she said, she went, she pressed through and she grabbed. Now, who did the miracle? Of course, Jesus did. He has the power. Well, you and I don't have that kind of power. But you know what we do have is the power of determination. The power to never shrink back, to never go back, to never give up. Amen. Many, many times, people in this condition, or like the people on the other side of the Jordan, they just say, well, I guess this is as good as it's going to get. And so you're not divorced, but you've settled for a marriage that you know is nothing close to Canaan. When you look at marriage in the Bible, it is a different picture. Well, I've just settled. I've just given up. No. Go to many physicians. Sacrifice all you have. Touch the hem of his garment. Well, I talked to Pastor William one time, and he didn't give me any magic oil. Well, just settle. Settle. Why don't fight your spouse? Fight with your spouse for a great marriage. Amen. Grab them by the hand and say, we're not staying on this side of Jordan. Our marriage is on the other side. If I need to repent, if I need to grow a beard, I don't know what I need to do. Wear skinny jeans, whatever it takes. I won't do that. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. All right. Okay. And she doesn't want me to, thank God. All right. In order to wear skinny jeans, you need to be skinny. Okay. Don't stop. Don't give up until you reach the destination. Keep fighting. Keep going forward. Well, I've tried this in my business. Well, what's in your heart? Now, here's the thing. Sometimes it's good to quit if you're outside of the will of God. Well, Pastor, I've got this unsaved, woman in my life, and we're going to the other side. No. Leave her in the wilderness. Leave her in the wilderness and cross over the Jordan and then find somebody. Amen. There are a lot of things we need to quit. Not the will of God. Not the plan of God. Not God's highest and best for your life. Amen. But you better know what it is before you start your journey. Otherwise, you just think every giant is a sign from God. I guess we're not supposed to be here. No, just go kill it and move on. Amen. Well, the doors aren't opening. Well, don't just get a big shoe and kick the door down in Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Paul the apostle didn't go where the doors were open. He went where God told him to go. Sometimes he got in jail. So he just preached and sang in the jail, and everybody got saved in the jail. Amen. Went to jail and said, let me write some epistles while I got this time. Amen. So, don't look back. Don't give up. What did Abraham do? Genesis 12, verse 1. He's still Abram at this time. Verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. That's always the plan of God. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. This is bigger than you, Abram. This is not just about you and your retirement. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran, the place his father didn't leave. And I don't care if settling and quitting is in your natural DNA. Joe begat George, and they were quitters, and they begat Sally, and they and you look in your natural family, and they all settled, they all quit. Well, guess what? Abram was from a lineage of quitters and settlers. And when God said, go, come on, honey, let's go. Come on, Lot. Amen? He was 75-year-old when he left Haran. Not when he prayed about it. Not when he thought about it. Not when he put it on his 20-year strategic plan. All right? He did something. He obeyed God at 75. Hallelujah. If you're under 75, obey God. If you're over 75, keep walking. Keep moving with God. Obey Him. Hebrews comments on this journey in Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Obeyed. How do you obey? By faith. When he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of the promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. By faith he went. By faith he obeyed. What are you doing? Well, by faith, I'm just settling. No, you can't have that. Those two words don't go together. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. What are you waiting on Him to do? Grow you up? And He's not going to. You'll be old and gray before that comes to be. Amen. Who else did something different than going back? Well, David came to, he was a delivery boy, a teenager, came to deliver cheese and bread to his brothers. His brave older brothers. Because if you're older, it makes you more awesome. No. Not necessarily. 1 Samuel 17. And so it was. And what did he hear? He heard these taunts of the uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath. And all of his taunts had made all of the armies of the living God hide in their tents. David wasn't afraid. I kill stuff. I kill lions. I kill bears. I can kill giants. I did it the other day. When something gets between God's plan and me, I just trust God. Amen. You don't have to be old. You can do this as a teenager. Amen. If you're born again, you have more of the Holy Spirit than David had. Hallelujah. Verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried. What did Lot do? Hesitated. David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. Oh, and by the way, there was no sword in the hand of David. Huh? Well, I don't have two PhDs. Well, what do you have? You got five stones? Use those and let the Holy Ghost use that. Amen. Well, I'm going to start this business. You know, I need $500,000 of capital. Well, what are you selling? Uranium? I mean, use what's in your hand. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine and took out his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. Now that's a DVD I want to see. Mm-hmm. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Sadly, the very next verse, then the armies of Israel arose. Tell your neighbor, go first. Oh, there's a lot of things in life. If you wait for somebody else to do it, you will wait forever. You'll wait forever. You might as well be the first one. All right? So what else do? Run out. Don't wait for them to come. There were lepers that got up. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. There were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. There was a siege in the city. All right? The Syrians had, you couldn't go in, you couldn't go out. It was a big problem. Ooh, people were starving, doing crazy things. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here till we die? If we say we enter the city, the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So we've got three options. Go in the city, what's going to happen? Die. Sit here, die. Well, there's another option. Come, therefore, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. This is good logic, isn't it? Three options. Dead, dead, and probably dead. Let's go with probably dead. All right? Verse 5, listen, listen, listen. And they rose. Stop talking. Rise. Put down the business plan and do it. Amen? Put down the marriage book and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites. It wasn't an army. It was three lepers. When did the miracle happen? After they arose. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact. Their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. These guys just went into the tent and had a nice supper. Yeah. And they just ate. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in the will of God. Go in the will of God. Don't be frightened like everybody else. And then lastly, there was a generation that crossed over the Jordan. Joshua 3:1. Joshua 3:1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they sent out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. There were some things that needed to be said and done. They waited 3 days in the plan of God. Verse 17. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. Here we go. Here's another miracle. When did the miracle happen? When they moved. Hallelujah. All right. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. There were some, their relatives didn't cross over. Their relatives murmured and died. Their relatives committed fornication and died. There were four sins that kept them in the wilderness and kept them in their graves. But this was the generation that said, we're going to keep going. We're not going to give up. We're going to eat manna with a smile on our face. And we're going to get to the place that God has for us. Is it hard? Of course it is. It's supposed to be. Amen? But in the Bible, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. With whom? With our good shepherd. Because he knows where the green grass is. He knows where the springs are. Hallelujah. Are there valleys? Oh, there's a valley. Oh, la, 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 la. Jesus went through storms. Jesus didn't die in the storm. Get Jesus in your boat and your boat won't go down. The three Hebrew children, what happened to them? They were thrown into the fire. Well, I don't like the fire. Well, sometimes there's fire. But guess what? You get to come out. You get to come out because you're determined to do the will of God. Walk through the valley. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? In faith, by faith. Don't wait it out. Follow your shepherd through it out. I'm just waiting for perfect conditions. Well, that might not ever happen. All right. I love this quote. It's not from the Bible, but it's biblical. Teddy Roosevelt. The credit belongs to the man in the arena whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and who comes up short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause. The man who at best knows the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, fails by daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold, timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Never be named among the cold, timid souls who shrink back, draw back, and quit. Go forward. Go forward. Well, I've never killed a giant before. Well, I guess today's the day to learn. Amen. Well, I don't know what's going to happen when I walk towards the Syrians. Well, there's one way to find out. Walk. Amen. Well, but I don't know if I'm supposed to go and touch Jesus. Well, just go and touch him anyway. Press through. Oh, there's a crowd. Press through the crowd. People are telling me to shut up. Speak up. Yell out. Call on God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not of those who shrink back. Hallelujah. We are those who go forward with God. Not forward in foolishness. Not forward with your own dreams and ideas. No, go ahead. Let those die. All right. But forward in the Word of God. Forward in the plan of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you truly are raising up Joshua's and Caleb's. And Father, we may have 10 tribes around us, 10 other people around us, Father. Oh, they're so scared. They're so intimidated. They want to give up. They want to shrink back. They want to disobey you, God. They want to do their marriage different, their business different, God. And Lord, those people are around us. But Father, we are of a different spirit. We are from a different lineage. We are from our father Abraham. We are from his seed. We are people of faith. We're people who see you and know you. And Father, we thank you that your word says that when we know you, we do exploits. Father, I pray for everyone in this place. And Father, oh my, Lord, I've been there. I've been there on those days of quitting. Father, those days of discouragement. Those days where looking back seems so wonderful. Looking back outside of your will. God, that forward seems intimidating. It seems scary. It's unknown. We've never done this before. Am I really equipped? Can I handle it? But God, thank you that we are of these people. Father, we are believers. We are believers, Father. And we will be of those who trust you, God. And Father, I thank you that Hebrews 11 is not done. Father, there are people in Lusaka, people in Kabwe, people in Chilanga who went by faith and built by faith and obeyed by faith and married by faith and raised their children by faith. And Lord, may we be counted among those company in Jesus' name. Father, we determine, regardless of all the other voices, regardless of the other spies, what everybody else is saying, we will say, let's go. Let's obey God. Let's trust him to do even scary things through our life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need to make a determination today. Some of you need to make a determination today. And you've had that temptation to look back. You've had that temptation to go back. Maybe there's even somebody who's been appointed the going back leader. And he's recruiting you to go back. Maybe an old friend. But today, you're saying, I'm going forward. Today, I'm getting those smooth stones. Today, I'm stopping this in Jesus' name. If that's you, stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. If I was in the crowd, I'd be standing. Me, personally, me. I would be answering this call for myself. Amen. But if you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been tempted. I've been thinking about it. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. I ask you just to deal with hearts right now. I just ask you, Lord, to deal with hearts right now. Well, what are people going to see if I'm standing? They're going to say, man, you're awesome. You're fantastic. You're trusting God. You're going to the other side. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me just kind of say this. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Either stand or don't stand. Just stand. Don't be Lot. Just get up. If you know you need to get up, just get up. Just get up. Do it right now. Father, in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Just lift up your hands toward the Lord right now. Oh, you see, there's destinies. There's destinies, these people that are standing. Destinies with God. Father, I pray right now for supernatural boldness, supernatural courage in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray, just like Jesus prayed, Lord, may their faith not fail. Father, encourage them, strengthen them, Father. May there be Aaron and Hurs that come alongside of them and lift up their hands during those moments of weakness, during those moments of being tired, Father. I pray that they would be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Father, I thank you that they'll not go back. Father, give them a vision of the people, of the generations, of their kids, of their lives. Father, of what's before them, of what's on the other side of the Jordan, what's on the other side of your miraculous hand. Oh, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's what I want you to do. Those of you that are standing, I want you to keep standing. I want you to keep standing. All right. But those that are around them, all right, we've prayed, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go give them a high five. You give them a fist bump, a chest bump. You do whatever. You just tell them, way to go. You are just awesome to me. Just go right now. Come on. These people should be like at a soccer match. People just be on top of them. Amen. Tell them you're proud of them. Tell them you're standing with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can have a seat. You can have a seat. Just put your hand on your heart. Say this with me. Say, God, I will not be of those who shrink back, draw back, go back, look back. I'm moving with you. I'm moving based on your word. I'm moving in love. I'm moving in your plan. Thank you, Father. Even if it looks scary, you are with me. You're with me in the boat. You're with me in the valley. And we're going to the other side. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There were people that stood courageously and said, you know what, I'm going on with God. The first and the biggest act of courage in your whole life is to follow Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the earth, repeatedly he told people, come, follow me, and I'll make you. He is still calling men and women. He's calling them to lay down their sin, to lay down the destructive life that they've had. You see, friend, you and I are going to die. And when we die, God is not going to grade us on a scale of how much we went to church, or if we were good people, or if we helped the poor. There's only one determination. It is, what did you do with Jesus Christ? Well, I watched some shows on TV. I thought he was a nice guy. The Bible says you need to make him Savior and Lord. That's something I can't do for you. Class can't do that. Infant baptism can't do that. It's a decision that you have to make for yourself. You may be very religious. You may not be religious at all. But today you realize, I need to be born again. Or maybe you're a backslidden Christian. You're far away from God. And today you realize, I need to come home. I need to come home to a God who loves me. Wherever you are right now, today is your day to say yes to Jesus. You can say yes to Him, and everything changes from today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be born again. I need to come home to Jesus. Wherever you are, simply lift up your hand. Just wave it at me. Say, that's me. Today, I'm going to be born again. Today, I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. Just lift it up real, real high. Wave it at me. We don't want to miss you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Who will join this one? Over here. Thank you. There in the back. Somebody else? Say, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. All the way in the back row. Thanks. What a great decision that you're making today. All right. Here's what I'd like you to do. Congregation, all of us, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. I'd ask you just to stay in the auditorium right now. Let's honor these decisions that are being made. It's the most important part of the whole service right now. And those of you that lifted up your hand, what I'd like you to do is, I'd like to pray with you. So just grab your Bible, your handbag. Just come and meet me up front. I want to be able to shake your hand, look you in the eye, pray together with you, and watch God's dream come to pass in your life. And so wherever you are, just come forward. Just come forward. And you're just leaving your old life, following Jesus today. God bless you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. What a great decision. The best decision in the whole world to follow Jesus. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Wonderful Jesus. He's good. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. He's a good God. All right. God bless you. Amen. Now, if this was going to be a gift for you, how would you get it, right? You'd receive it. So a gift we can't pay for, but a gift we do receive. And so God's forgiveness, His love for you is a free gift. But we receive that by faith. And so what I'd ask you to do is lift up one of your hands towards heaven and just say this with me. Say, God, I believe that You love me. Jesus died for me. He was punished for my sins. He was raised from the dead so that I could know You. Be my Lord. Be my Master. Thank You, Jesus. I follow You now for the rest of my life.